Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is. Well, it's Muckin' Fun Day. It's also the 30th day of October, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610 and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 40 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 57 degrees today for the Klamath Basin, and it's cooling on down by Friday. It's supposed to be 35 and snowing, and I just hate the thought of it, but there ain't a damn thing I can do about it. Anyways, let's see what we have on the itinerary for today. Trump says he will release nearly all of the JFK assassination files, and we're going to get into that nearly as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Bringing you The Word from the Trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty then. Trump says he will release nearly all, almost all of the JFK assassination files from Reuters. U.S. President Donald Trump said on Saturday, you know, he said he was going to allow the redactions. You got to believe he's heard some shit about what people think about him and his Jew buddies and their cover-ups and 54 years later and all the shit that goes along with it. Donald Trump said on Saturday he would release all documents related to the 1963 assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, except those with the names and addresses of people who are still alive, like old George Bush. I mean, man, the bottom line here, people, is there was a law passed back in the night. I think it was George Bush Jr. that signed that law that said last week those files were going to be released in their entirety. No redactions. Nothing touched on them. It's 54 years later. This is bullshit. And what it's going to show is that, your past presidents, the ones that have, read my lips, no new taxes in a new world order, that they were key to it. I'd be interested to, that's not to say that they haven't destroyed files. How do we know at this point in the ballgame? At any rate, after strict consultation with General Kelly, the CIA, the people, what's amazing is the ones that are finding all these reasons not to let these documents out are the very ones that Kennedy was getting ready to get rid of. He was going to dissolve the CIA, the FBI, the IRS. I will be releasing all JFK files other than the names and addresses of any mentioned person who is still alive, Trump wrote in a series of tweets referring to his chief of staff, John Kelly. But if it's truly the release and it's going to show the other shooters, it's just like, you know, we got this dose of shit about the same time as the shit in Las Vegas is going down, where nobody knows what happened. It's now the Las Vegas mystery. At any rate, we'll see what old Trumpy does, and we'll see if we can figure out what them names are that are redacted, if they are all released. And now, you know, that we had this arrest, I can't think of the asshole's name, that he was the head of Trump's campaign committee or whatever. He was the chief cook and bottle washer for the Trump campaign, and now he's been indicted. And this is going to dominate the news. This is it for a week or two, people. This is what's on the mainstream, and Fox can call themselves alternative. CNN can call themselves non-biased and alternative, but the fact is, this is all you're going to see on those shit broadcasts, that mainstream propaganda machine. Meanwhile, you know, we got remember Las Vegas, people, way back, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, way back to Las Vegas, and the fact that witnesses were coming forth talking about multiple shooters, talking about goddamn what looked like assassin teams in four complete casinos apart from one another. Well, you know, again, some people are trying, you know, I heard a broadcast this morning on the Micro Effect.
It's a lone nut.
That's all it is, man. Thanks, Charlie, for stepping. How much did they pay you for that? Yeah, but anyway, on this broadcast, we're talking about nobody's filed any libel suits. They're, you know, insinuating there was nobody actually killed there, which would be better for them than what really happened, because there were people killed there. I went and checked. I mean, I don't know where these people are looking. All I had to do was type it in, and I found three dead people's relatives had filed against the casinos and against the police and the whole nine yards. And, there was a lady here actually at my house when this whole thing, well, she'd left my house the day before. But she knows people there, and one of her friends got shot. So I know that somebody got shot down there. There was bullets a-flying. And I think 58 people got killed, and I think it was two or three.
There ain't no place to file.
I hear you. That could be it, Charlie. The cover-up here, people, 58 people, they were going to use this to try and take your guns away from you. And they did such a shit operation. And, man, you got to wonder, what kind of operation was it? I mean, whoever was doing this at the top, they had to know there were going to be multiple shootings in multiple hotels. But, you know, they come out with this scenario of the one shooter up in the 32nd floor of the MGM. And all of a sudden, they, everything else is discounted. Some strange man, some gambler down there, for reasons unknown or unpredicted or unseen by cameras in the casinos, which have surveillance on every goddamn inch of it all day long, all night long. It's not too fantastic for us to believe that this one person got, 27 guns into a motel room, managed to shoot through the door and hit a guy in the leg who never looked like he's been shot to me. I mean, he went to Mexico a couple of days later and was back and on the TV. I didn't even see a limp, but he was hurt real bad. I reckon 200 rounds pumped into a hallway again in a casino hotel, and nobody else got hit. And I mean, the whole fantasticness of it, believe that. But to go the extra mile and say that nobody got shot. No, people got shot. And this article right here, Las Vegas shooting witness who described multiple gunmen found dead. And a lot of them are coming to an early demise here, people. Would they go out and really start capping people who are trying to tell the truth about a shooting on the frickin' Las Vegas Strip? Really? This is from Your Newswire. It was sent in by Jolly Roger for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Danny Contreras, an eyewitness Las Vegas shooting survivor who publicly claimed there were multiple shooters involved in the attack, has been found dead in an empty house in Las Vegas with multiple gunshot wounds. His body was found in a vacant home in the northeastern valley after a neighbor heard a man groaning inside the building and called 911. Police say Contreras was dead when they arrived at the 5800 block of East Carey Avenue, near North Nellis Boulevard. The woman who called emergency services to the scene says she didn't hear any gunshots, because that's because the CIA and the Mossad use silencers. But the coroner confirmed that Danny Contreras, 35, died of multiple gunshot wounds and ruled his death a homicide. Danny Contreras has become the latest Las Vegas survivor. That is the latest Las Vegas survivor to die under suspicious circumstances or disappear in the weeks following the shooting. Disturbing, the dead witnesses all have one thing in common. They all provided information that calls the official narrative into question, and they were all ignored by law enforcement and mainstream media, directly contradicting the official narrative that only one shooter fired on the Route 91 Harvest Festival crowd. Danny Contreras tweeted the day after the attack saying he was lucky to be alive after he was chased by two gunmen. And this is the other account the other kid gave. We got it stuck up on there at the top of From the Trenches. But, I mean, of running through the streets and hiding and pissing himself because trying to hide from just gunmen all over the goddamn place, just shooting everywhere. Posting on Twitter, Danny Contreras stood in solidarity with many of the survivors and insisted that there were multiple gunmen involved in the attack. His tweet was retweeted hundreds of times. Feeling icky to be alive. Can't believe I got out of concert alive. Two men chasing me with guns. Not everyone so lucky is, you know, it's abbreviated. In the face of all evidence and countless survivor testimonies, mainstream media is perpetuating a major cover-up by claiming there was only one shooter. Well, of course they are. And this is why you're getting all this weird shit going. I mean, just like we're going to watch this stupid shit about this campaign manager and this with the Russian thing, man. They got to throw something out there that's just going to get the soap opera going, man. We're indicting the Democrats this week. Democrats are indicting the Republicans next week. It is Investigation Nation, and it's only millions of dollars to do it for this production. So that they, I mean, damn it, this is the United States of America. We are the American people, the American nationals. Hey, what happened in Vegas there? We want somebody brought to account for 58 people shot. I mean, you were going to go across this country and take our freaking guns because 58 people getting shot, a massacre. This was beyond belief. This is something that should affect the life of every American across this country. We all should have to give our guns up for this shit. But then your operation starts falling apart and it's like, what 58 people? Just, and this is what we tell you every day. You know, they play these games with us, how much they love us, and that's why they're inflicting this tyranny on us, because, well, it's like a ruly parent, you know. They're just looking, doing what's best for us, whether we like it or not, because they love us. And then there's 58. I want to know about the love for these 58 people. And, again, I haven't seen anything about funerals. There's nothing about this shit on the mainstream people. How can you, I mean, do you think about what they're capable of? You know, they try to claim innocence, and anybody who speaks out against the government, of course, is a conspiracy. You know, you'd put your tin hat on and make up these weird shits, make up a weird scenario where they would just absolutely go into the streets, into a crowd, and open up and walk out and act like nothing happened and get away with it. But, you know, the only place I've seen the mention of the Las Vegas shootings, when you see these articles on gun legislation they're putting together, and they say Sandy Hook, which everybody knows was a false flag. An FBI agent said it. I mean, it came out. It's blatant. But it's like they don't give a shit anymore. And now and the Las Vegas shooting. And you hear them talking about it with the Bundy trial. You know, everything they do to bring it into a different context in a different forum, it adds legitimacy, or like there's something that's to what they're saying happened, and it's all bullshit. Because when they bring it up about the Bundy trial, of course, they got the guy's name in there. I can't even think of his damn name, the guy, the patsy up in the 32nd floor. You'll hear his name, but you won't hear nothing about any of the rest of this. And when they go to talk about it, they say the Las Vegas shooting. Instead of saying the Las Vegas shooting, where this guy did this, this is what happened, guys. We're going to reaffirm it over here in nowhere land. Nobody's investigated. These people are very real that are on the internet coming out with their videos telling you what really happened and that they told the FBI. And that, well, the FBI isn't interested in anything but one scenario, the one that makes the least sense. The one just, well, nobody really knows why he did it. You know, it's kind of like Adam Lanza. Probably, well, his brother's already been accused of child pornography and stuff. So somewhere down the line. Huh? Paddock. That's it. Paddock. Thank you, Charlie. Paddock.
That's the name of a pen for animals, paddock. So they had all them people penned in like animals.
Oh, really? I never thought about that. Is that for sure, huh?
Yeah, they chose that name, paddock. Wow. That's the name of a pen for animals when you lead them to slaughter.
Well, it's like Sandy Hoax. What's the name of the place there in Connecticut where that was supposedly...
What about all the funerals for the September 11th people that were crushed like pancakes?
Yeah, there you go. On this Las Vegas thing, I've seen nothing...
There weren't any crushed like pancakes. They'd blown to pieces.
Well, it was all piecemeal, that's for sure. But I'm seeing, like, with the Las Vegas shooting here, I mean, this was quite, horrific. This took over your news for a solid week, people. That was all that was on the TV. This horrific massacre in Las Vegas. And now, surely these people are being buried. There are funerals. There are people crying that they want you to see, aren't there? Or maybe you don't want to hear the interviews with any of the family members who might have been there. And said, yeah, Bob, he sure as hell dead over there in that casket. But wasn't no guy up in no building that shot him. Hell, he wasn't even shot in that area.
You're being insensitive.
I know I am. I hate it. But, somebody's got to do the insensitive thing or the truth gets washed away with the bullshit. Oh, man, where were we on this guy here? Kateris, let's see. Where in the hell was I? His body was... yeah, we did that. Whereas police say Cantors was dead when they arrived at the 5800 block of East Kearney Avenue and North Nellis Boulevard. The woman who called, we got to that, said that she heard no gunshots. That's where we were. Danny Kateris has become the latest Las Vegas survivor to die in suspicious circumstances or to disappear in the weeks following the shooting. Disturbing, the dead witnesses all have one thing in common. They all provided information that calls the official narrative bullshit, directly contradicting the official narrative that only one shooter fired on the Route 91 Harvest Festival crowd. Danny Kateris tweeted the day. Oh, we did the tweets, too. I'm not even paying attention to what I'm doing here. Las Vegas Review Journal on the death of Danny Kateris and claim that Metropolitan Police Department Homicide Lieutenant Dan McGarth told them Mr. Cantera may have had gang ties. And this is how you snuff people when you're in the CIA. So you kill them, you take them, maybe you put them in a car. Put a little chloroform on a rag, put them in a car, and take them over to a bad part of town. Take them into a room. I mean, these were country and western folk. I mean, you don't see a lot of gangsters in country and western crowds. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But they take them over to a place, the seedy part of town. And then you pop them and say, well, he was probably gang affiliated. That's what it was. The gangs killing him.
Henry?
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't doubt. I bet your gang members were used to as the second, third, fourth shooter, man. And I bet you they're also being used to off these people.
It's possible, but I mean, why should they market it? They send in a crack team, a team of five. Or in this case, there was several teams. Probably let's say four or five teams of CIA and Mossad. These guys are trained. And then they do the deed and disappear, and then, the cover-up is another story, to send an individual hitman.
It's amazing, isn't it, how these guys operate? They're like ghosts, man. They blow the guy, they take care of it, they take care of business, and they're gone like a ghost.
Well, it kind of reminds me of that Bourne series, Bourne Identity, Bourne, all that shit. But there's one of them in there where, they shoot up like they're in the Capitol or maybe the UN, I can't remember. They shoot the shit up. I mean, machine guns going off, people killed all over the goddamn place. And they make a call and they say, clean it up. And then they have the teams come in and all this stuff, and none of this happened. And then there was a couple of suicides that play in the news later. I mean, this is what we're looking at, this kind of shit, people. Purely amazing. While this may or may not be true, what is becoming increasingly difficult to ignore is the number of bodies stacking up after the Las Vegas shooting. Are they being silenced to stop the truth from coming out? John Bellman, who was wanted by federal agents following the discovery of a communications device in the hotel room of the officially identified shooter, Stephen Paddock, killed both himself and his disabled daughter in an apparent murder-suicide. Oops-a-daisy. Chad Nishimura The Mandalay Bay valet who parked Stephen Paddock's car went missing in the days following the shooting after giving an interview to a Hawaiian mainstream outlet, KTV4, in which he contradicted the official narrative and pointed out that Paddock didn't have many bags, certainly not enough to cart 27 semi-automatic weapons, thousands of rounds of modifications up to the room. Mr. Nusharama has yet to surface. Unfortunately, the fate of other eyewitnesses is more certain. Kimberly Shushmull of Apple Valley, California, was found dead in her home hours after her husband left for work. Mrs. Shushmull gave a very detailed account of what happened in Las Vegas, insisting there were multiple gunmen involved in the shooting. Claiming that mainstream media was not telling the truth, Kimberly was planning on creating a survivors group to continue the quest for truth and justice. Rather, this series...
Henry,
yeah, go ahead.
Do you have suicidal thoughts?
No!
Just for the record.
For the record, I've never once had an inkling of a thought of suicide. In fact, I'm terribly vicious when it comes to self-preservation.
In case you're found tomorrow.
In case, yeah. I didn't do it.
You're questioning the story?
Oh, man, I know it's dangerous.
You have to be suicidal to question the story.
That's why I keep my I sleep with one eye open and a cocked pistol in my hand. Go ahead, Dion.
Hey, you know what? It's amazing how people, you know what I'm saying, how people really don't understand how the government works. Now, if that would have happened to either one of us and we would have saw something, we would have known that, hey, we just came and told the people, so we know that they're going to be looking for us. Yeah. And we would have been, you know, cock loaded and ready. But most of these people, they really have no idea about if they see something that horrific and they don't really know who done it and they go out and tell a different story than what the narrative is on TV, they have no idea that their lives are going to be snuffed out.
Oh, hell no.
See, I have that much sense. I know if I see something, you know, if I see something, I know, oh, man, the government, they did this. They're going to come after me. So I'm going to be ready. And
yep.
I would tell people, hey, they're going to come after me and I'm going to be ready.
Oh, hell yeah. You know,
these
the
people,
smartest
they have no idea, though. It's like they can't comprehend the evil that these people do.
No, they're far from it. But you're right. You know, if I seen something like that, I'd document the hell out of it. I'd get it out in every place I could, and I'd be hiding, and I'd be well-armed, and I'd be telling everybody, they're going to kill me for telling you this. They're going to kill me for to watch. I'm not going to kill myself. They're going to kill me. If I die, they killed me. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
see,
you know,
they don't think like that, though. You and I, Charlie, you know, we'll be like, hey, we know what happened. We saw who did it. We saw guys jump in the black van. They took off.
Yep.
But I tell you what, I'm telling you this. I'm going to be locked loaded because I know it's the government. They're coming to get me after I tell y'all this. So if I'm dead, that's who did it. But I'm going out with a fight.
You bet. Absolutely correct, man. Yeah, there's since the writing of this article, there's another article up on From the Trenches. Two more of the people, a man and his wife, that did mysteriously, well, they died in a car accident over by Henderson, Nevada. But, yeah, of course, you know, accidents happen. I can't remember the name of the reporter. I think it was a Rolling Stones reporter that was on that, you know, was onto a story about the CIA. And his car magically accelerated to 120 miles an hour down a boulevard and hit a tree. But when you look at the video, you can see the motor being blown out of it before he ever gets to the tree. These people, I mean, this is becoming very psychotic. They're out in the open and they know it, but this is things they've always done and covered up and kept quiet and did it professionally. I mean, you're getting the culls to the top of the top of the pond. That's what's going on here. They're just freaking competent. That incompetent that they're screwing these operations up, and even like these hits, they're not even thinking about it anymore. They're just like, yeah, it's on. We're killing Americans. Well, those ones need to be shut up. They'll be shut up. Yeah, they're gonna come on the alternate media and say they were killed, but oh well. What about it? The option is letting them talk.
It's like every situation like this, Henry, you know, you go all the way back to, shoot, man, even right here, or just Oklahoma City bombing, man, they killed that police officer. They drove him off in the field and told everybody, oh, he committed suicide.
Oh, yeah.
That man did not commit suicide, man. They killed that guy, man.
Because
he found out what the truth was, and he was telling the truth, and they killed him.
I can't remember I think it was Mark Kornke told about there was like a group of five Navy admirals, if I'm thinking straight, and they were headed to Washington, D.C., or they were going to, you know, because this is way back when things had first got out of hand. I think this may have been clear back around Bush. But all five of them committed suicide, too. I mean, you know, get a shotgun blast from 4 foot back. I'd like to see the contortionist that did that, that killed himself like that.
Henry?
Yes, sir.
How much you bet that they're already writing a Hollywood script and their version of this incident?
Oh, yeah.
And it'll probably be in a movie in a couple of years.
Probably sooner than that, because people are right now, you know, this is the hard point. I mean, there was an article the other day, the FBI said, we're just not going to say anything else. We're just not going to talk about it no more. Case closed. Have a nice day. But, like, you know, that's...
I think it was Terrence Yakey, the Oklahoma City cop.
That got killed. Yeah, I remember that. I mean,
yeah,
well, you know...
He shot himself three times and drug himself across the field and...
Oh, yeah. Well, I was watching the bombing when it occurred. And, I mean, after the original explosion, and then, I mean, this is when it's all breaking. I happened to be just sitting there watching the damn news. And when they were talking about it, they said there's more explosives. And they found shaped charges. There were explosives inside the building. And they, I mean, it was, yeah.
They were walking over the dead or the injured people to go get them.
Exactly. They said they couldn't go near the building because there were more explosives inside the building. I mean, that's a lot of years ago. But, I mean, right there, just like the 9/11, you know, the planes hitting the towers. I mean, to me, it was so goddamn obvious. When they go and change a story to that magnitude, like this one shooter guy here, you know, because of the cell phones and the internet, it's getting harder for him to do shit. But you have all these people coming out, like that one kid, man, he convinced me. And now, anybody can say there wasn't dead people. That guy saw one, and I believe when that kid was, what every word that kid said, I believe it. Anyways, guys, we're down to
the gotta get you on the city water so you'll believe.
I am on the city water, and but I take I don't know anti hypnotic drugs. Anyways, guys, we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Mrs. and Mr. America fret. They huddle around their TV set. They worry and they sweat. They're thinking I'm the enemy, the one they need to get. Because their mind controllers tell them I'm a major threat. The talking heads, the daily press. They cultivate stupidity and harvest ignorance. They point a crooked finger and they're all unanimous. By calling me extremist cause I'm down on Zionists. So now I want to sing a new song. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rouse rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was who did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. Now what's so bad about being extreme? If I'm extremely innocent, if I'm extremely keen, if I'm extremely paranoid, it's cause of what I've seen. It's written in between the lines of every magazine. The FBI, the CIA, are working for the KGB and getting in my way. Cause they don't like my politics, they dog me every day. I'm getting tired of telling them the problem is oy vey. The enemy is communism. I want to be an extremist.
I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist.
I just want to get the job done.
But all he gets is phony news. His state of mind is captured by the mob's opposing views. His only guarantee is that he shouldn't be amused. Some may win, but most will lose. Their lives are only figments of the thoughts they cannot choose. And I doubt you'll ever see me on the 6 o'clock news, exposing lying, thieving, cheating communists. Who made me sing you this song? I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Jews who did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. I want to be an extremist. And I just want to have fun. Cha-cha-cha.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:35 Pacific time, and that was Carl Klein with us. I want to be an extremist. Well, it ain't hard these days. Just try to be left alone. You're an extremist. There you go. Las Vegas trial to begin for a rancher, Cliven Bundy and Sons. This is from Las Vegas Review Journal. Cliven Bundy, lead defendant in a case stemming from a 2014 standoff with federal agents and the 71-year-old patriarch of a family with roots in the southeastern Nevada desert since the state was founded more than 150 years ago, won't let his lawyers buy him a suit for the trial. Instead of the standard slacks, button-down shirt, and tie that incarcerated male defendants often don while facing a jury, the reluctant at ranch, I don't know where the hell we'd get away. I'm going to spell this word for you, and you know, what the hell does it mean? Why are you sticking in an article like this? R-E-C-A-L-C-I-T-R-A-N. Recalcitrant. I mean, what the shit? Rancher plans to wear a jail-issued blue jumpsuit and orange flip-flops when he faces potential jurors for the first time on Monday morning. He is so principled that he's going to do what he's going to do, which is tell the truth and tell it as he sees it. And he's not worried about the consequences other than the people around him. His lawyer, Brett Whipple, told the Las Vegas Review Journal last week he refuses to put on civilian clothing because it would mislead the jury because he is who he is. Well, I don't know if I'd agree or disagree. I mean, in the first place, you're talking about apples and oranges. They have no jurisdiction over you. I don't know what the man will argue. You know, I think that old Clive, and of all of them, you know, he had the deepest set values and morality. And you know, if he knew the whole truth, he would do things differently. Stepping into something like he did with, you know, a section that somebody showed him out of the damn Constitution. And, going at it the way he did on states' rights instead of his individual rights and freedoms. I mean, I've seen mistakes, but it might just be a lack of education because conviction is certainly there. Monday, his two sons, Ryan and Ammon, and independent militia leader Ryan Payne, have been locked up without bail in a federal holding facility for nearly 2 years. Also, you know, while they've been locked up them 2 years, we've seen MS-13 gang members walk on killing people and go off down to Mexico because they got bailed out for $250,000. They face the potential of decades behind bars if convicted of conspiracy and other charges related to the armed standoff. Their trial could extend as late as February, with more than 40 witnesses expected to testify. The first two trials ended with several acquittals and a pair of convictions, leading three defendants to cut plea deals with prosecutors. And I say those plea deals are going to be used. I wonder if these guys are going to testify is what I wonder. But Cliven refuses to negotiate. Huh?
Well, you know, Henry, I think old Van Bundy's a little stubborn, man. His stubbornness is what got him putting behind bars. I mean, he should never have gotten on that airplane, man. I mean, the guy's stubborn as hell.
Nah, he shouldn't have got on that airplane. You got to wonder who coaxed him onto that airplane. It's hard to judge. I can't judge them. I mean, we're from different worlds. Like I said, all I can reference any of it to is like the Hammonds who would, I mean, like somebody like me, a militiaman, a real militia, an anti-government militiaman, they want nothing to do with this. They think this whole thing can be solved. They just need to put the right people in the right places, get that BLM back till it's working for the ranchers, the miners, and the logging industries, and everything will be hunky-dory. I mean, this whole thing, when you break it down, it comes to an international incident. You got Hillary Clinton being investigated now for the uranium that it's really all about. The fact that Harry Reid had sold, like it belonged to him, like he had the authority to, public lands out in that desert, Nevada, rich with uranium to the Chinese. And, you know, delivering up on the goods. Well, Mr. Bundy had to move. I don't know if I got to believe he knew about the uranium. I think that Lavoie Finnegan had been in contact with him, and they all knew about the uranium. I just believe that instead of them coming out and saying it's about the uranium, they wanted to keep that quiet because they thought it would hurt their cause. Because in reality, they want their uranium. I mean, that's the way I've told you people. It's been here all my life. These rich, good old boys, lodge members. They always end up with big chunks of valuable property, and they're always the ones running things. And that's the way it's been since the inception of this country. Well, since the hijacking of a uprising and turning into a revolution, that's the way it's been in this country. The privileged few and everybody, I mean, we always talked equality, you know, and across this country, we're all equal. We're all equal in rights. But no, it never was that way. You had an aristocracy and a sub-aristocracy and a sub-aristocracy, which is socialism. It's a different kind of socialism, but it's socialism nonetheless. There are no classes under a free republic with an emphasis on the rights of the individuals. There are no collectives. But these people have been a part of a collective, generational collective, where it's been everything for them because they own the state politicians. That's why Cliven, you know, went about it the way he did. His people, his social class, had always, you know, they're just like right here where I live. They bought the local representatives in the state legislature, and everything went their way. They pretty much dictated the lives of everybody else. And if there was a valuable piece of property that was going to be exploited, it was going to be exploited by them and their lodge buddies. That's all there is to it. They're the ones that created the BLM to make sure that the regular folk, you know, the lower class, stayed out of their way. They had a federal agency that could come in with guns and push the people off the property that they wanted to exploit. And that's just the truth of it. But, I mean, Bundy, you know, I don't know. I think in his mind he felt that, you know, this is all right. I mean, there's the kind of people that will argue that state shit that will tell you that the Bill of Rights does not apply in the states, which the 10th article makes clear it absolutely applies in the states. It's everybody looking to, I guess, butter their own bread, to have an advantage on everybody else, because you look at the way this country has turned out and you look at who's at the top and who's in the middle and who's at the bottom, and it just don't look right. You got all the retards elevated to the top because it's been about manipulation and cliques and secret societies rather than content of character, intelligence, and aptitude. That's what should decide on an even playing field when all have equal access. The people who are have the brains are going to do better. The people who have the work aptitude, they're going to do better. But when you get cliques formed, then the next generation, I imagine the guys who formed these original cliques, they were some go-getters, and they were smarter than the average bear. But when intelligence isn't always hereditary, and especially when life is easy. You know, you have a kid, and the kid didn't go through the hard knocks and the bad streets that you did to get up to fight up to where you took something. He just got it handed to him as a condition of being born. And you get three or four generations like that, and you get exactly what we have in this country. All the culls are at the top. And this is why they will be defeated. I mean, you see the incompetence, like the Las Vegas shooting here. This is how high the incompetence has gone. You look at those mainstream politicians. You look at them. You think about what a smart person looks like. I mean, the brightness in their eyes, the quickness of their tongue. You know, the shine of intelligence. It ain't there. You know, most of them a C student max at the school that their parents own stock in. Okay. They were pushed through and put through and placed. You didn't earn nothing. You were just placed there because it was hereditary to you. It was your hereditary right as a Mason to be, you know, in the higher echelons to get all the money, and everybody worked for you. That's just how it is. But that's why this thing fell apart. Hereditary wealth ain't going to work because sooner or later you get stupider and stupider people because they get lazier and lazier, and they just do not have the wherewithal to get up and go. I mean, when you're trying to get something, when you're trying to gain something for yourself, you'll do a whole lot more thinking than just if it's just handed to you. And when people in this country, they want to come out and criticize the welfare people. Man, I don't know. You look at, none of us need welfare. We own the richest country on planet Earth. But you look at how people would turn around and worship people like the Bundys are these people who are born into wealth. I mean, or even like, the prince over there in jolly old England. Oh, Prince George or what might have, you know. I'm just going to just worship him because of who gave him birth. Not nothing he did. No individual achievement to speak of. Hell, he ain't even old enough to achieve individually, and I already worship him. This is what makes the tyranny that builds, and finally it builds, and finally it builds. And when it finally breaks loose, it's such a terrible thing because the people who are trying to defend against it, they're completely outmatched. They are the culls, the dummies who should have never been in the power positions of power. They do not have the wherewithal, and it's really showing. I mean, like what you see this goofy shit that they're doing with Hillary, and they're like playing this campaign, and you know, this is the main production, and this guy getting arrested today, you know, he's actually got it for laundering money before the election ever occurred, but it's all going to tie together because the president of Ukraine or somebody had contacted somebody, and this is just what they put in front of you. And what are they really doing? What we've been telling you all along, right now, by the billions, your raw, unmanufactured resources are leaving your country. As you're watching that tube and getting pissed about this, goddamn, I'm doing that to Trump. Got to give him a chance. And you're sitting there, and the other guy on the other side, Antifa, I'm a communist. I don't even know what a fucking communist is, but I am one, and I'm going to get you guys. And meanwhile, the rest of us are sitting there going, you dumb son of a bitches. Because we're sitting here watching our country's being carted off while you're playing these freaking games. And the answer, this isn't rocket science. It was handed to us 240 years ago. They handed us the Bill of Rights. This is what you do when this shit gets out of hand. Take that second article and reinstate the rest of them. But here we are, Clive and Bundy and Sons.
Yeah, it's amazing. Cliven hasn't been killed. I mean, LaVoy got, you know, one in the head, but they probably wanted Cliven dead too. It's amazing he's still alive, if you think about it.
Not so. I mean, before, many years ago, I agree with you, Mark, but with the advent of the Internet and the fact, I mean, this is why these guys are getting acquitted and everything, because they're, I mean, the average person is just like they're right there. They're watching this shit. If something happened to that old man, I'm telling you, they're already about to the point of we put up a little quote from George Bush, I think it was senior. It was at some White House. It was like a media kind of an event, you know, kind of thing where they get together and laugh about how they're screwing all the rest of us. And he said, you know, that if the American people knew what we did, They would chase us down the street and hang us from light poles. I mean, Jesus, how far do you, down this road do we have to go? But I mean, that was several years ago. Go ahead.
The ninth article, you read it last time, but
yep.
To me, it's not clear when it says right by the people. That don't mean the Bill of Rights. Why doesn't it say the rights outlined in the Bill of Rights?
Because it is an article in the Bill of Rights. It is in the contents of, I'm not saying, listen, it's talking about, this is a clause in the what would be the First Amendment to the Constitution, which is the Bill of Rights. This clause says the enumeration in the Constitution. So they're talking about the Constitution. We can agree on that.
Yeah.
Of certain rights. Now, rights are authorities. And there's, I mean, what rights would, are there in the Constitution? It's all about government, right?
Okay.
Shall not be construed. That means it shall not be interpreted. This power in the Constitution shall not be interpreted to deny or disparage others retained by the people. If you want to know what the people's rights are, you go up to the top and start reading down again.
Top of what?
The top of the Bill of Rights.
So, I mean, wouldn't it be clearer if it said those?
What it says is that in the Constitution, that certain rights shall not be construed. There's only rights that are in authority. Everybody talks about the right of the government to do this, the right of the government to do that. A right is an authority under the law. The only authority in the Constitution shall not be construed. No, there, that means none can exist in the Constitution that are interpreted to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Now, the reason they said others retained by the people is because there was a big beef about just the only 10 articles being put in the Bill of Rights. And they wanted to make it clear that the first article, the second article, the third, this is not exclusive to what the people's rights are. This is just a formula for determining through the jury what the people's rights are. Like, there's not going to say that you have a right to grow an apple tree in your yard, but you could certainly establish that by saying that the property belongs to you. And unless somebody's seizing that property, you can grow what you want in it. The reason they talk about the others retained by the people, because they're talking beyond the Bill of Rights.
But it sure leaves it open for...
I don't see how, Charlie. I mean, I read and write law. And the way it's worded, I don't see... No, there's no way around it. What it says...
You know how those judges can talk.
Okay, but it says the enumeration, that means the compiling of, in the Constitution, this is the compiling of the authority, which is the certain rights. The compiling of the
authority. Everything is straight, except the last part where it says retained by the people. It's not clear what, I mean, right now there's nothing retained by the people.
Well, if you want to go look it up, it'll tell you that the reason it says disparage others retained by the people is because it was made sure because the Federalists who didn't want the Bill of Rights to be in the a part of the Constitution, they said that what they tried to sell people on is if they just put it all in 10 articles, there's tons of rights that won't be covered. And that's why that it says that and others retained by the people. These articles are absolute law. That's a fact of law. I mean, the way it is written and the fact that it is the Bill of Rights, the way it's attached, it means that what the first article, it's law. The second article, it's law. The third article, it's law. Now let's talk about the fourth article, the right of the people to be secure in their persons and houses. Now, if somebody comes like this asset forfeiture thing, I mean, or even if somebody comes and takes you without warrant, that is a seizure of your person. This is recognized, established law. When they talk about others retained by the people, I mean, it could be anything. So long as it retained, but when your authorities that you use in the common law are your articles in the, you know, 1 through 8 are your articles that you use for your procedures to see if you got procedural due process under the fifth. And to see that, you know, you haven't been seized without proper authority, which is a, you know, a common law proceeding, a common law order from a common law court. I mean, this is just how you apply the rights. And what they're saying is this covers every goddamn thing. And the 10 articles and everything that can be put to them as shown to be a right under those circumstances, if that makes sense to you.
What I ran into in court, whenever I claimed that they violated those articles, they started asking, okay, what is this article 4 and article 6 and everything? What's exactly what he's saying, you know?
Well, Charlie,
they wanted me to know and say it verbatim and explain it.
No.
The fact that I couldn't, they said, he doesn't know what it is, so we dismiss it.
No, well, that's because you didn't file on paper. If you put it on paper...
Yeah, what would that do? I mean, you know, if I had him explained it verbatim, then that would have found some other reasons. But, yeah, I mean...
No, any time I've used, and I've written lawsuits, believe me, and I can use the every article, I get the whole package. Somebody violates one right, I'll tie it together, they violated every goddamn right. And I will explain it out exactly what these rights mean and how they pertain to me and that they are my authority. See, the first thing you do in an affidavit is establish who you are. You establish that you are an American national. And as an American national, the Bill of Rights is guaranteed to you. Absolute, untouched, uninfringed. And then you point out, you put out down the incident. And then you connect the incident to the violation. It's always a failure if you're doing positive law. You failed to...
Do you pay taxes?
Huh? Me? No. You?
Don't pay taxes?
No. Don't make enough to pay taxes, Charlie.
Well, I mean, you're a taxpayer. I don't know.
Everybody's a taxpayer. You buy gas.
Everybody can't talk like this, so I got to practice. I appreciate the help. I'm listening.
Man, I might dig out an old lawsuit or something and send it to you, Charlie, and you can see what it's how it's supposed to look.
Yeah. Post it or something. I mean, I'm trying to...
Henry.
Yeah.
So those affidavits that were written two boys that were pled guilty, those affidavits are actually probably illegal, right? Because they weren't written correctly.
Well, when they want to pin something down on papers, you got the people out there that write trusts for like rich families. Now they know how to punctuate. They know how to assign authority. And in something like this, it's like when we would do this shit at a lower level. Now, the first time you went in, they just didn't know what they didn't even, you might have been talking in a foreign language, but they knew it was something goddamn serious because the paperwork went with it and it all coordinated together. The next time you came to court, there'd be some more people there. See, they'd have to go and bring outsiders in because the judges, your local judges, they don't know the goddamn law. They've never had to even look at the law. It's been so many years since it was been there. And then they'll bring at the top, they all know exactly what they're doing. And once they come in and they have them read your paperwork and see that you know what you're doing, then it gets violent. It just goes to violence from there because they know you're right. You can't be wrong. You're right. You've got them nailed down with facts and you're right. Next step is to try to kill you. And that's what they'll do. That's why the paper ain't where it's at until we take the country back, until we take our authority back, until we have our common law courts back. We really have no other choice but the second article, because that's what it was put there for. In case everything was taken away, you better hold on to them guns, because that's how you got this shit in the first place. That's how you will get it back.
Yeah, they're going to use those affidavits against Clive, and like you were saying. Oh, well. I mean, good Lord.
You know, yep,
I
they're going to.
If there's any way if those affidavits are, you know, any way illegal, that's what I was getting at. But, yeah, I don't know.
Mark, it's all illegal. It's all illegal. They cannot have Clive and Bundy there. The federal government has no authority to have Clive and Bundy where he's sitting right now. The only one that could put Clive and Bundy in a jail cell is another American national filing under a common law jurisdiction where Mr. Bundy has all of his rights to respond and defend himself in court. And he has the right to his procedural due process. That judge up there doesn't get to say what the evidence is. That judge makes sure that the procedures are followed, which is the Bill of Rights. Make sure that no one's rights are violated. Then Mr. Bundy would get Mr. Bundy could just say, well, where's the problem here? Well, who's going to charge me here? Oh, the Bureau of Land Management. The Bureau of Land Management is not an individual. It's a corporation. That's why you find in Black's Law, they try to make a corporation a person, which isn't, it cannot be. It's an oxymoron. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie placed there because there was no other way they could get around the law at that point. So when they try to say a corporation is a person, I say, I want to address that person. It's a piece of paper. You can't. Well, here's the CEO. I don't want to talk to CEO. Who are you? Did I do something against you? Well, no, but I represent the corporate. No, that is not how it works. It's like the state picking up charges. The state's a piece of paper. Piece of paper can't take a free man into court. It takes another individual on an even par, which means another American national, and he better have affidavits of proof that you've done something to him or his property or his ass is going to have everything taken from him. That's how the law is supposed to work. That's how the common law does work. That's why the common law has been suspended, because you could shut this shit down in a day.
Yeah, John Gotti gets to wear a $4,000, $5,000 suit at trial, and Clyburn's going to wear a $15 jumper. I mean, that's boy, talk about railroad.
Well, that was his call. And you know what? I don't blame him, because I wouldn't wear the jail suit they give you to go to court either. If I was Cliven Bundy, I'd want to be in there in my goddamn my Levi jeans with my old boots on and my shirt I always wore and a bola tie and a cowboy hat, because that's who I am.
That was what I was going to get at. I mean, he ought to be wearing what he is. He's not a jailbird.
No,
he's
ain't.
He's a rancher.
That's right. That's why I disagree. If we're at the top of the hour, we will be back tomorrow, 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. Until then, stay tuned for my best friend, Spike Timmons, with Hammering the New World Order on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com. And that is The Word from the Trenches.